Hi everyone, this is Sherry Clark, and welcome to Courage to be Seen. This show's for anyone who longs to take charge of their life, to create more success, accomplish their dreams, and to live in inspiring ways to be powerfully visible and visibly powerful. I'll be sharing stories with you from my own career and experiences, from leading engineering teams for the last 20 years, and also from interactions I have been blessed to have with people I've met from around the world. I want to give you the tools, techniques, strategies, and inspiration so you can be the best you. You can achieve the success you desire, personally and professionally. Being authentic, confident, and empowered are the keys to success and the life that you want. You can have the courage to be seen. Hi, I'm Sherry Clark. And welcome to Courage to be Seen, the show that focuses on helping you achieve the success that you desire. I will share with you the tools and techniques, the stories and strategies, so you can have confidence, you can be empowered, you can overall have just the success that you've always desired in your life. I want to start with taking like maybe a step back in time. Think about March of 2020. How was it for you? You know, how did that really play out as the world shut down? I'll tell you how it went for me. I was at work and we got the notice that Dallas County put out that everyone was supposed to stay home unless they were supporting one of the seven essential defined business infrastructure areas of the United States. It was kind of confusing in many ways when this notice went out. One, we didn't know exactly who was in Dallas County. While we have addresses for all of our employees, we don't necessarily know, you know, which county each town is because there are county lines that like, you know, break up cities sometimes. In addition, it was a little unclear of exactly the way that they said, unless supporting these various infrastructure areas, you know, defined by the federal government. So taking this confusing information, you know, everyone kind of got to work. One, we had a team of people trying to identify which of our employees were actually in Dallas County and which ones weren't, because our office wasn't in Dallas County. But our employees, if they were located in Dallas County, they had to follow the laws and the rules that were set out in Dallas County. And then we also had, you know, a team of people trying to identify, were we an essential business? What does this kind of legal terms actually mean? In the end, it all really didn't matter because in a couple of days, all of Texas said employees should stay home. Now, we also were classified as an essential business because we develop power solutions for telecom. We make sure that the cell phones, you know, work, that phone systems work, data centers, a lot of the infrastructure that is really what we've relied on in the last year, very important in terms of to power that infrastructure. So clearly we were an essential business. So at least that part, you know, didn't matter, but it was just a lot of confusion. If I think back of it, you know, of should we be in the office? Should we not? My son had an extended spring break. School didn't know what to do. So they said, let's just take an extra week of spring break. That was my son in high school. My son in college, he came home from spring break. While he was home, college said, you know, don't come back. We're going to just have everything go online, except we had like 2 days notice to move him out of the dorms. So we had to rush back to college, get him moved out of the dorms and had him back at home. All very unplanned. I'm sure it was this way in your own life. In addition to all this craziness and everyone trying to figure out what to go on, we did have work that we had to do. Employees had to come in and there was a lot of concern. Is it safe? A lot of people were scared. They didn't know just that coming into the office, were they putting their lives in danger? What could we do as leaders in the business to help keep everyone safe? We worked really hard and tried to do everything the best we could in a very unknown environment. Now think about then over the course of the last year, this went on. Everyone started to figure out, you know, how to work from home, how to work safely in the office, how do we protect ourselves with masks and various things. While some scientists work very hard on vaccinations, Zoom, team meetings, you know, all these things that we transitioned to and learned a new way of working that we just wouldn't have ever thought probably could be done on the scale that it was in the last year. But now we are a year later. People have modified their homes. We've set up home offices. Some people have moved. But people are aching to get, you know, back to normal. So kind of what's next? I know some companies have closed offices and they've just told people just stay home. That way they're not paying for rent. And now we have a work from anywhere policy. Other companies are saying time to get back into the office. We're going to have people in the office full time. Many are in the middle of this or they're still figuring things out. There's a Gallup poll that just recently came out that I found that's interesting. And it said that workers in the U.S. are the most stressed out workers in the entire world. I don't think that would surprise most people to hear that. 57% of the workers in the U.S. say they experience stress on a daily basis. That's a huge amount, and it's up 8 percentage points. So while we might have transitioned and figured a lot of this stuff out to work remotely, obviously we have more stress than ever. And if you compare that with globally, only 43% of people say they experience stress on a daily basis. And of course, it probably doesn't surprise you that more women experience stress on a daily basis than men. And a lot of this is attributed to helping to raise kids. Not everyone splits, you know, child caring equally. So 63% of women that are working say they experience stress on a daily basis versus 52% of men. But the interesting thing is the daily stress levels of working women in Europe in the last year have reportedly actually gone down. And this is contributed to the fact that there is more social programs in Europe, there's more support when people become unemployed. So there's probably less worry about the overall kind of social net that maybe isn't as strong, you know, in the US. So while all this is going on, the interesting thing is that employee engagement metric has actually dipped in the rest of the world. So in most of the world, they say employees are less engaged now because of the pandemic, because of everything that's going on in the last year, employees are less engaged at work. However, in the US, that the engagement has actually increased 34%. Now that's crazy. You think about all the stress and everything that we're doing, they're actually saying engagement is higher, you know, than ever. But when you think about it, high engagement and high stress equals burnout. Like there's no other way around it. And if you hear anything right now, there's a lot of stories around employee burnout, around, you know, the mental health of people. And so something has to give. And I think when we think about, you know, where we were a year ago, everything we've gone through, and then now we're in this kind of what's next stage, I think we have to think about, you know, the stress levels, the burnout, you know, what's right for companies, what's right for employees, what's best for you. So I'd like to discuss today kind of the pros of working in the office and the pros of working at home. Now, I like to do this. Now, you can make a pro and con list, you know, the plus and minuses, and a lot of people do like trade-offs, okay, things. I like to kind of take more, you know, a different look at things. Like, let's just say you're having that argument with somebody or constructive kind of criticism or just trying to share your viewpoint. Sometimes I think it's a really good exercise to say, okay, could you argue the other side? If you were in someone else's shoes and made your case, you know, what would that look like? And so that's kind of what I'd like to do a little bit today. I'd like to talk about if you're going to work in the office, what's the pros of working in the office? And then we'll talk about what's the pros of working from home. And in addition to that, we're going to kind of talk it at a high level. And I'm not going to go into the details on some types of people are better in like one situation or the other. certain jobs are only able to be done in the office. Certain ones are more able to be done successfully at home, right? So we're not going to go into all those kind of details of one or another. We're going to talk more kind of in general. In addition, some people don't have a very good setup at home, right? So if you don't have, you're in like maybe a small apartment, you don't have a home office, there's a lot of noise at home, or you don't have good internet. So we're not going to get into some of that. Just kind of thinking in general, we're going to talk about kind of in the office versus at home. There was an interesting poll that came out from Gallup in April and said, working from home, employees have been working longer hours and more on the weekends. They're more likely to report loneliness, depression, anxiety than people that are working in person. 66% of people in this poll said they wanted to immediately go back into the office. But what's so confusing in this poll, even though 66% of people said they wanted to go back into the office, 84% said they enjoyed working from home. Now, it really doesn't make any sense, right? 84% of people say, hey, I'm glad I've been able to work from home. I enjoy working from home. At the same time, they're saying they're lonely, that they're working more hours. So when we think about going back in the office and should we go back into the office, and that I'm part of, like several Facebook groups where people are talking about, hey, what's your company doing? Are you guys going back into the office? Several of the big tech companies, initially said, hey, you can work from home. And now they're saying, oh no, we want people back in the office. And then, maybe we'll go hybrid. Like in some respects, a lot of people are still changing their minds and figuring this way out. But it's on top of a lot of people's minds. And it's no surprise it's confusing because there really isn't a known path forward. And there isn't one right answer. So what's some pros of working in the office? One of the first ones is time management is actually easier. So if you're not very self-disciplined, maybe working in an office setting is better for you. You have a time you're supposed to get to work. You have a time that most people leave the office. That doesn't mean that you have to leave, and some people work late. I realize that, but there kind of is a start and a stop that if you're going in the office, most people don't do significant work from home. Now, granted, if you're working, like doing some calls with international teams, you might do them really early. And so you might do some stuff from home. But for the most part, an office kind of has a more dedicated start and stop time. That's one of the things that maybe working from home, hey, when do you end? When do you leave your home office and transition to doing things from home kind of thing? So time management can be easier when you're working in the office. With that, it's easier to set boundaries. It's easier to separate work and home. Some people working from home feel like they're always working. Like they never get to leave work because work is always kind of around them. When you actually like drive into work or you walk into work or take a bus or a train, you have that transition. So it's easier to set that boundary. One of the things that I found early in the pandemic working from home, a lot of people, like let's say that they wanted to have a meeting at 7 o'clock. Like there was nothing going on in the world, right? Sports got canceled. All kid activities got canceled. Everyone was sitting at home. How do you say, I'm not going to attend that 7 o'clock meeting? Everyone would know you're at home. Now, granted, yes, you have kids. Maybe you're eating. There's a lot of things that you could be doing rather than have a meeting. But a lot of people had a hard time saying, no, I'm not going to attend that meeting because everyone pretty much knew you're at home. So it's much easier to set those boundaries when you're in the office. The third thing is it's easier to connect to one another. I think that's clear. When you can see people in person and you can chat while getting coffee, how was your weekend? Walk by people's office, say hello. It is just easier in general to connect. If you want to have that same level of connection when you're remote, you have to put that extra effort out. You have to really try a little bit harder. You have to maybe set up meetings or ping people on Teams or on Zoom. It's just a lot more effort. So a lot of times it doesn't happen. One of, I think, the big pros of working in the office as an engineer, it's easier to solve problems together. It's great to brainstorm at whiteboards and share ideas or sit at a circuit in a lab and try different tests and look at the instrumentation, you know, together and brainstorm. Yes, we can do some of that on video. There are tools, it has gotten better, but I still don't think it's really to the same level of when you do problem solving together with people and do brainstorming in a room. One of the things most people don't think about when they work in the office is there's just this unplanned communication and collaboration. You know, like maybe you hear something and like, oh, I could help somebody with that. Or it's that kind of that overhear, or you would have never actually set up a meeting with somebody, but when you run into something or you see something on the whiteboard, you have a little conversation with somebody. And that's a big part of their culture. That's a big part of how we innovate. And that's why companies like Google is saying, hey, people need to be in the office, because you can't plan for that. You just won't set up the time, or you can't set the time because you didn't even know who to talk to. But when you overhear them talking, it's a different story. So with this, right, connecting with people, being able to brainstorm, just overall, it's easier to meet people and build kind of that community that we're so missing when we work from home. One thing that a lot of people don't think about, it's also easier to network with leaders that, you know, they're in the office, they're getting coffee, riding the elevator, you know, whatever the things may be. I like to walk around and maybe like walk through the labs. And if people are there, I can see them and visit with them. You don't get the same thing of, I don't just like drop into other people's Teams meetings and Zoom calls, right? That's kind of impossible. But I might stop by a conference room and just say hello. So there's just this opportunity for more networking that is a little bit more in that unplanned area that you just don't get from home. You also will find most meetings can be more efficient when they're in person, that they're not as long, but a lot of it has to do with, you see, body language, people can communicate better, you don't have as many, you know, technical issues. So studies have shown when we are doing conference calls, the meetings run on average longer to get the same amount of work done as if everyone was in person and you could just have a short chat. I do think we can't leave out, though, that the advantage of working in the office, that not everyone has a good home setup. Like, I'm lucky. This is where, when I work from home, this is the same setup that I have. So I have a dedicated office, but not everybody does. Some people are working from their bedroom, your bed, exactly. So they have horrible setup to try to work on their laptop. Other people are working at their kitchen tables. And you don't discount that that's really hard for a lot of people to work. Another thing working in the office does is it drives more participation. It's easy to be in a meeting and not really paying attention. You're one of many people in these little video boxes, or maybe you're not even showing your video and it's just a picture. Versus when you're in the room, in the meeting, it's easier to make sure you're participating. And maybe when people are at home, you don't even know if they're participating. They could be multitasking. They could be doing 100 different things rather than paying attention to the meeting. So you just get that inefficiency when you have people that you don't, you get that efficiency driven from being together in the office versus the inefficiency of not really knowing what people are doing when they are remote. All of this really, I think, drives to help us drive innovation. When we're in the office, it's easier to have innovation. So Yahoo, several years ago, you know, they called all the remote workers back into the office. They said, if we want to be, you know, highly innovative and really, you know, drive the innovation to the next level, we can't have everyone working remotely. You can't build the culture. You can't communicate fast enough. You can't work together. So they actually called everyone home. It will be really interesting to see over time how the big companies do it. Google, right, used to spend a ton of money on perks to get people in the office, to get them working together, to have them collaborate outside of even just doing their work, but to get to know each other, to spend as much time as possible together. And they are a very innovative company. They've driven a lot of innovation. So if, you know, being in the office, being in person, if FaceTime wasn't so important, you know, why do people want to travel so much to other sites? You know, why is there so much business travel? I believe it's very important. A lot of businesses think it's important. So a lot of people and a lot of companies are saying it's time to get back into the office. Now let's talk about some pros of working from home. I think the first one that is probably one of the biggest ones, there's no commute. So if you have a long commute and you're working from home, if you normally would have a long commute working in the office, but now you're working from home, like you get to save that time. That time can be getting more done at work, or that time could be personal time that you do things like exercise or do some reading or some self-care or things that you need to take care of personally. I think that's probably the biggest advantage that most people kind of fell in love with working from home. And if you not, time is probably the biggest one, but in addition to time, you have less money spent on gas, you know, less wear and tear on your car. So I think the commute is probably the biggest thing that advantage people have when they are working from home. The second one, you can do some multitasking. You know, when you have a break, you can throw a load of laundry in. You can, I want to think about getting some food out of the freezer to defrost for supper. So you can run to the freezer and get that out. I'm not saying that you should do lots of things at home, but, you know, when you need to have a 10-minute break, you can do a couple things and multitask. And there's a huge advantage to that. I could walk out and, you know, meet my son's bus when he came home from school. It's a great thing to be able to do those type of things. And a lot of people value that now. Some jobs, you know, it's too noisy in the office. So a huge benefit of working from home is it's quieter and people can focus more. Especially maybe people that are writing code or like research, people that are really trying to, you know, do hardcore thinking, you can find it's quieter and there's less disruptions working at home, or potentially could be, as long as you're kind of managing your schedule and your computer and your chatting and all that kind of thing. And those are huge advantages. There are some jobs that it is more beneficial to have that block of quiet time, especially if like you're in the office and maybe you sit next to a conference room where a lot of people are talking, either in the conference room or outside the conference room, you know, either before or after a meeting. And so there can be a lot of a benefit to being in a quieter environment. You can at home sometimes take productive breaks. Like maybe if you have a break, you could take a walk around the neighborhood. You can find ways to use those times that you have in your day incredibly productive that you can't do when you're in the office. Okay, now you have a break. Maybe you're still gonna fill that break with something, but it's not the most productive way that you would like to be doing it elsewhere. Another pro of working from home is you have a wider talent pool that you can hire into jobs. You no longer have to find are people, you know, willing to relocate. And so sometimes you can raise the talent of your team by offering remote work opportunities. Now, then you have to worry about onboarding them and various things like that. But it does give you a bigger opportunity when you are looking to hire for your teams. Most people will say when they're working from home, they have better work-life balance. You know, they can kind of pick their hours. Like not everyone is like an 8-to-5 type of person. Maybe some people would like to start a little bit later and then kind of take a break around noon and then pick up and work more in the evening. When you work from home, sometimes you can do that. Now, sometimes you can't because you have meetings that are scheduled at work. But if you have at least that core work that you need to do just yourself, maybe you have more flexibility in the day and you can line up your work, you know, optimally when you naturally are better to it. I'm a morning person, so I like to get up, you know, and get started and but some people aren't. And the last thing I think when you can work from home, there's more availability from a family standpoint. You know, if you have kids or maybe a parent that lives with you and they need some extra help. So you can't discount, you know, kind of that ability to have these, you know, extra time just with your family and be able to take care of kind of like your whole life. So if you are working from home, I'll tell you, make sure that you're comfortable using video, because that allows you to maintain at least some of the connection, the things that are pros when you work in the office. Make sure you get ready each day. You know, don't put off and say, oh, I don't need a shower, or I can just wear, t-shirts and things like that. But get ready, you know, start the day, kind of have that time bound that, hey, I'm actually working. And make sure that you set up time that you can stay connected. And so even though you're not naturally having those interactions with people in the office, you want to make sure that you have that time. So schedule some one-on-ones, schedule some short chats, and you can make being at home just as productive as people that are in the office. So I don't know which one is better. I think this is an experiment. We're going to continue on, should we be at home or should we be in the office? And so the jury's still out, and we'll kind of see where it goes. I hope that this helped you, though, as you're thinking about if you're going to be in the office or working from home as you go forward. If you've enjoyed this episode, I encourage you to subscribe so that way you get noticed when the next episode comes out. Check me out on my website, couragebeseen.com. You'll find all my contact information there, my coaching program. And I'd love to get feedback and hear what topics that you would like to hear me talk about on future shows. So until then, I look forward to talking to you again soon. Bye.
Thanks so much for joining me today. I hope you've been inspired to take action on at least one thing starting today. To learn more, check out couragetobeseen.com. There you'll find my blog and additional resources, including you can download a copy of 10 Ways to Live a More Courageous Life. Thanks again for listening, and make sure you tune in next time to learn additional ways to have the courage to be seen in your own life.
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.